I knew this was going to be trouble. She called over her shoulder. Hey, Asshat, get in here. A moment later, Barrett appeared in the doorway. What? She glanced back at me. That thing you mentioned, maybe the kid here has heard of it. I looked up at the young Cheyenne. Ever heard the term, Evo Odseomus? The smile faded and he folded his arms over his chest. Why? Was that a yes? Yeah, why? He didn't move. My sister put you up to this? I glanced at Vic and then back to him. What are you talking about? The hunting camp thing. You got me, I have no idea what you're talking about. My sister didn't tell you the story? No. He leaned against the door jamb and stuffed his hands into his pockets. When I was in my first year in high school, I went out to Elk Camp near Chimney Rock, south of Livingston, in the Gallatin National Forest with some buddies of mine. I was about 16. I had some free time in the evening and went out on my own with a Fiat 8 of my dad's to see if I could spot a bull. He came in and leaned against the wall, looking out the window at the gray skies. I was following a ridge when it dropped off into this canyon, rocky with a lot of trees. It was getting late, but I saw this elk running in there, and I thought if I could follow him, I might get a shot off. He shook his head. I dropped down through the rocks, trailing that damn bull, and finally reached the bottom, but by then it was really getting dark. I mean, there was a little sun that got over the cliffs at the opening of the canyon, but then the rocks got higher. An elk. That's a lot of packing. Yeah, I know. Vic glanced at me and then back to Barrett. I was young and stupid. My undersheriff smirked. So, not that long ago? It was like a doorway, you know, just a great big doorway. All dark inside, and I thought, there's nowhere that elk could have gone, so we had to be back in there. He gestured with his hands, lifting them as if holding a rifle. I brought the 308 up and started forward, but it was so dark, I couldn't see hardly anything. I mean, I've got really good eyes, but I couldn't see back in there at all. I figured that if I spooked that elk, there wasn't anywhere he could go but back out toward me. I'd just gotten to the point where the sunshine, what there was of it, stopped. I mean, it was like a line, like a shore, you know? Vic studied him. And? There was something strange about it. And I couldn't figure out what it was, but then it dawned on me. He turned toward us. No sound. I mean nothing. There was no bird song, animals, or anything. You've been up there at twilight. There's stuff all over the place, raising hell because it's about to get dark and things that'll eat you come out. He glanced at Vic. The birds, they sing like crazy before dark to let the other birds know that they're all right, and they do it again in the morning to let the other birds know they made it through the night. Maybe they just got quiet early. No, this was something else. I could just feel it. I remember looking up and seeing the trees swaying, the pines shimmering. So? There was no sound. Even the wind, the trees, nothing. Just dead silence. And it wasn't that my ears stopped working. It was like something was in that canyon with me, eating the sound, eating everything. I mean, I couldn't even hear my own breath or my heart, and let me tell you, it was beating. He swallowed. I just stood there, pointing that rifle into the darkness and thinking, it's not enough. It's not enough. I kept hoping that elk would show up in a minute and everything would go back to normal. Both Vic and I stared at him, saying nothing. It was about then that I remembered my grandmother telling us about the Evo Odseomus, about how it came at those times when the light changes and that the animals get restless. People say the animals move at that point, looking for a place to bed down or move out to look for food. But my grandmother used to say that it was the Evo Odseomus and that it was hungry too, that the animals knew this, and they are desperate to avoid this thing. What did you do? There was a ground fog creeping from the canyon at my feet, and I could feel it freezing me where I stood. Pulling loose, I stepped back and could see that the mist was filling the canyon, so I forced my feet to step back again. The only part of me that I couldn't control was my eyes. I couldn't help but look into that darkness, and I could finally see something struggling in there, attempting to get away. I knew it was that elk, and I never wanted to help something so much in my life. Whatever it was, I knew it was baiting me, trying to get me to reach in. But I knew if I did that, it would take hold of me and I would never see the daylight again. He aimed the imaginary rifle. So I did the only thing I could do. I closed my eyes and fired. It was quiet in the office. It's funny, you know, you can close your eyes, but you can't close your ears. He dropped the imaginary rifle. I heard the scream of that elk. But it didn't last long, almost as if something swallowed it whole. And then I ran for my life, and I remember it being dark, fully dark, as I scrambled out of that canyon. I ran all the way back to the campfire, and when I got there, the only thing burning was a few embers. One of my friends looked up as I ran toward him. He stood and stared at me, asking where the hell I'd been. I asked him what he was talking about, and he pointed behind me. I was afraid to look, but when I did, I could see the sky lighting up and that it was dawn. He looked at us. Just being near the Ebo Ote Omas cost me 8 hours of my life. The old ones call it the wandering without, the nothing, the thing that takes and never gives.